Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. It's great to see everyone this morning. I want to remind the family group leaders that we are going to have a meeting tonight at 5 p.m., both men and women, at Harvest Community Church. Before I get into my lesson, I wanted to introduce a sister visiting from the Lagos Church. She's here on a course, and my wife studied the Bible with her many, many years ago. I'd love for Tutu Shogunuga to go ahead and stand up from the Lagos Church. Welcome to Atlanta. Didn't Steve and Mike did an awesome job this morning? You didn't hear me. Didn't Steve Garbrandt and Mike Crowd did an awesome job this morning? You know, diversity is not an easy issue to talk about. As a matter of fact, most people don't want to talk about it. People don't want to go there. But you see, it's awesome that we're different. Amen? If you look at creation, I'm glad that we have all kinds of trees. I'm glad we have all kinds of plants and different kinds of insects. It would be very boring if everything is the same. Are you with me? And so it's good that I'm different from you, and you're different from the person sitting next to you. That's a good thing. That's the way God designed it. And instead of being afraid about our diversity, we need to celebrate our differences. You know how it is? I'm on day 3 on my no electronics, all that stuff. And I gotta confess, I'm studying my Bible last night, and I was tempted to check out the score between Florida and Georgia. I said, no, it's just day 2, man. I can't do this. And so I didn't. And so my daughter told me to score later on around 9 p.m., which is fine. I didn't watch the game. I'm still here. I'm not dead. Okay? But you see, diversity is good. One of the things you will see at these football games is during the halftime period, the marching band comes on. Are you with me? Now, a lot of times, you and I don't get to see that because we're not there live. You know, the commentators are, you know, they're getting paid. They're making comments about the first half, and that's why they're getting paid. And so we don't get to see that. But it's amazing when you go to, quote-unquote, what you and I will call a white school, and their marching band gets on the field at halftime. You know, they're there. I was looking for Peter's trumpet this morning, but I couldn't find it. You know, so assume this is a trumpet. You know, they're going, boom, toom, 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 toom. You know, that's the way they're doing it. And it's a great show. Now, if you went to the halftime of a historically black college, when the marching band gets on at halftime, they're not doing tum 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 tum. They're doing tum 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 tum. It's just different. I'm not saying one is better than the other. It's just different. Variety is good, amen? So that's what I'm going to say about diversity. I got to get into my lesson. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As humans, we don't like uncertainty. And that's why we worry about tomorrow. You know, in verse 25, Jesus says, you know what? For this reason, the therefore refers to what he just talked about in verse 24. It says, for this reason, you can't serve two masters. It's not possible to serve both God and money or material things. Jesus uses the word worry here 6 times in a few short passages. And he uses the phrase, do not worry, 3 times. You say, well, Richard, why are we talking about this? Because I believe I'm talking to a group of people who worry. We may not express it all day long, but deep down inside, there's stuff that's bugging us. There's stuff that's bothering us. And that's why we need to look at this passage again. I know you've read it so many times, but we're going to talk about it again this morning. And hopefully by the time we're done, you're going to be a little bit more encouraged than you were when you walked in. Are you with me? He says, do not worry. I find it very interesting. He doesn't say try not to do it. He says don't do it. Okay? He says don't do it. Don't worry. The Greek word for worry, that's the title of the lesson, don't worry, okay? The Greek word for worry is merimnaho. Merimnaho. It means to be anxious. It means to be troubled with cares. That word worry comes from an old English word which actually means to strangle. When you and I worry, it's almost as if you're strangling yourself. And God says, don't do it. You know, death arrived one morning and was walking into a city. And a man stopped him and said, what are you doing here? Death said, I'm here to take some lives. That's my job. And the man said, how many people are you going to be taking from our city today? Death said, 10,000. That's my job. Their time's up, so I'm here to kill 10,000 people. And so he went into town and did his job. On his way out, the man met him again. The man was furious. He said, wait a second. You told me this morning that you were here to kill 10,000 people. 70,000 people died in the city today. They said, take it easy. I did my job. I took only 10,000. Worry took the other 60,000. You see, when we worry, believe it or not, the Bible says it does something to us physiologically. When he starts talking about, can you add a single hour to your life by worrying? If anything, the opposite happens. Are you with me? And God says, don't do it. Worry doesn't change anything. Listen to Jesus' argument here. He's saying, basically, since you cannot serve both God and money, you should not be concerned about the material things that money can buy. That's what he's saying. Because what are the things we worry about? We worry about the material things that money can bring to us. Whether it's our job, whether it's how we're going to pay our bills, whether it's how we're going to pay, you know, tuition and school fees for our kids to continue to go to college. You know, I got to be honest with you. When I went to school back in 1980, okay, some of you are not even born then. All the fees, tuition, everything, room and board, books, everything, $13,000. And I was a private university, which meant public universities were cheaper than that. 13 grand. Back in 1980, I thought, that's a lot of money. Today, in 2013, tuition alone for some of these schools is $30,000 a year. And so, what's going to happen 20 years from now? Your little ones, when it's time for them to go to college, I promise you, the tuition is not going to be what it is now. Are you with me? But I bring that up to say, you know what? These are the kind of things we worry about. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Now, before I continue, worry doesn't mean you don't plan. Let me repeat myself. Don't worry doesn't mean you don't plan. There are many verses in the Bible that talk about making plans. If anything, the Bible says you and I need to make plans by seeking lots of advice, by seeking lots of input. So it doesn't mean, you see, God said, I shouldn't worry, so I'm just going to see what happens when my kids get ready to go to college. That is not, you didn't hear that from me. Are you with me? You and I need to plan. You need to have a plan. I have a plan. You need to have a plan. We all need to walk our plans. But God says, don't worry about it. Are you with me? Also, don't worry doesn't mean don't be concerned. When you and I worry, we are saying God cannot look after us. I'm very concerned that, you know what, a lot of us, even as God's children, we spend so much time in this futile exercise, worrying. And how do I know? I can see it on your face. You know, the Bible talks about a cheerful heart shows up on your face. You know, and God says here, don't worry. I want to make two quick points this morning. Excuse me. God will ensure your survival. Listen to him here. He says, for this reason I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Listen to what Jesus is saying here. The greater gift of life implies he can supply the food and the clothing. God is basically saying, if you are going to worry about anything, worry about life itself. You say, what? What is he saying? Think about it. Worrying about food. You can't chew if you're dead. Have you ever seen a corpse chewing? I know I haven't. You can't chew, you can't even eat if you're dead. The point is, God has already given you life. So why worry about whether you're going to be able to chew or not? The God who's giving you life will make sure you have food to chew. That's the point he's making. So we shouldn't be worrying about life. God is basically saying, guess what? If I wake you up tomorrow, I will feed you. If I wake you up tomorrow, I will clothe you. If I wake you up tomorrow, I will take care of your needs. It is God who wakes us up in the morning. You and I are alive this morning and hearing my voice because God decided you were going to be here. Some people went to bed last night, and yes, we had a 1 hour extra sleep, They're gone. They didn't wake up this morning. Are you with me? And he's saying, you know what? If I wake you up this morning, I can take care of you. Which is easier? Think about it. Which is easier? God feeding you or clothing you or giving you life? Which one is easier? God waking you up or feeding you? I think, it's just my opinion, waking you up is harder. Are you with me? And Jesus is trying to reason with us. And we focus on all the wrong things. That's why when we wake up in the mornings, guys, wow, God, I'm still here. Hallelujah. I know you're going to take care of me. I don't know how, but I know you're going to take care of me. I'm not going to worry about whether I'm going to lose my job or not. Yeah, they've been handing out pink slips in the office. And they're going to be handing out some more Monday morning. So what do? The entire weekend, you're worried. You can't sleep. You're wondering, if I go in Monday, am I going to get a pink slip? The guy has already told you, when you come in on Monday, I want to see you. You've already been to the fellowship. I think I'm going to get fired tomorrow. Plus, you all need to be praying for me. You walk in, so you spend the entire weekend not sleeping and worried, and then you walk in and say, can I see you? Hey, we decided to give you a promotion. And you thought all weekend you were going to get a pink slip. So all those hours of worrying was totally useless and futile. Why worry about things you have absolutely no control over? That's what God is saying to us here. We need to stop worrying about things that we have absolutely no control over. I mean, think about it. You know, there's a commercial. Everything begins with K. You know, it's a jewelry company. I mean, let's suppose, you know, your uncle owns one of those stores, all right? And, you know, he tells you to come in, and he gives you or your girlfriend a very nice diamond ring. So, you know what? I don't want to wait till Christmas. I just want to give you this beautiful 3-carat diamond ring as a Christmas present. You're going to say, wow, thank you. That's beautiful. Guess what? He's not just going to hand you the diamond ring. He's probably going to put it in a very nice box so that you can keep the diamond ring in it. Are you with me? So you got the box, very nice box, and you put the ring inside of it and you close it. Probably has a ribbon on it. The point is this. So many of us are worried about the box instead of being more concerned about the real diamond on the inside. If the guy has given you a very nice diamond, I promise you, he will give you a box to put it into. That's the point I'm making. God has given us life. He will take care of the food. He will take care of the clothing. The Bible says he knows what we need even before we ask. Are you with me? Verse 27 says, worrying doesn't add to your life. If anything, it reduces it. There was a guy, he put an ad in the newspaper. He says, you know what, I'll pay you $200,000 if you'll do my worrying for me. I worry too much. And so this guy applied. He's like, I can't, 200 grand? Please, sign me up. So the guy says, you know what, here's all the stuff I'm worried about. And he tells him, it takes him a whole day. He says, $200,000. And before the guy left, the guy says, excuse me, I got a question. He says, where are you going to get $200,000 to pay me? The guy goes, that's your worry. You see, there are things that God is meant to be doing for us. Don't try and take that on. There's stuff that needs to be going on. We just need to look at God and say, God, that's your worry. Are you with me? It doesn't mean we don't plan. It doesn't mean we're not concerned. But there are a lot of things God wants to do for us. He's given us life, and that's enough. And because of that, we know he's going to give us everything else. And that's the assurance that you and I can walk around with every single day. You know, I know for me, this is just day three from not using any electronics. It's been incredible. I got to be honest with you. Nobody has called me since Thursday night. No one. Obviously, I spent the whole of last week telling people, you know, I'm going offline. Don't call me. Nobody has called me. The last person that called me was Mike Rao. And he came over on Thursday night to help me set up that thing on the email that says I'm out of the office, quote unquote. I didn't even know how to do it. And so he came over and, you know, we figured it out eventually. And so he was calling me, where are you? Because, you know, he got to my house before me. But that's the last phone call that's on my log. That's exciting to me. Because what have I been doing? Just spending time reading and praying. It's been awesome. I'm having a blast. So, Richard, how are you setting up your schedule? It's the old-fashioned way. I got it all written on a piece of paper. Because, I mean, think about it. What did they used to do back in the first century when they didn't have all this stuff? And again, I'm not saying that's what you need to do. All I'm saying is you got to check yourself to make sure that all these quote-unquote modern conveniences have not become a distraction. The only power I need is the Holy Spirit, and that's all you need. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having those devices. But honestly, if you lost one of those things, would your life end? I brought this up before, but I'll bring it up again. I remember years ago, before all this caller ID came about, I used to know a minimum of 24 numbers up top of my head. 24 numbers, minimum, that I knew. Oh, what's that person's number? I'll tell you. Pa, 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 pa. Today, I know only 3 phone numbers. My wife's and my 2 daughters. That's it. That's all I need to know. The rest of y'all, what do? I look it up. Why? Because the phone says it for me. Praise God. But I say that to say, you know what? I don't think that has helped my memory. If anything, my memory has gotten worse. And that's why sometimes I see people, they lose their iPad or their, you know, their iPhone, and, oh, I lost all my numbers, and they're freaking out. It's like, maybe you need to go back in the old-fashioned way. You know, remember that Rolodex? Remember that diary where you write everything down? That's one of the things I appreciate about Steve Collier. See, bro, do you mind, could you hold up your diary? You always got it on you. That's his iPad, people. He writes everything down. But see, all I'm saying is we got to make sure that we're relying on God and not relying on all this material stuff. God wants to walk powerfully in our lives. God wants to walk in our lives. He will ensure our survival. That's the point I'm making. Number 2, very quickly. God will meet your material needs. He says, guess what? Take a good look at the birds. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. He says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, look at the flowers of the field. Look at the grass. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. He says, oh, you of little faith. He says, I will take care of your needs. Let me ask you a question. What is the unemployment rate in America right now? It's about 7.5%, something like that, right? So, oh, that's high, Richard, that's high. Tell that to the birds. You know what their unemployment rate is? 100%. Y'all didn't hear me. The birds, their unemployment rate is 100%. Here you are worried about 7.5% that the U.S. is carrying. There are a lot of countries on this earth where the unemployment rate is 50%. Some of us were about to lose our minds with a 7.5% unemployment rate. Yes, there are other countries that have it a lot better than us. Their unemployment rate in a place like Norway is like 4%. But the population of Norway, you can put just all the countries on the eastern seaboard of the U.S., and that's the entire population. And so everything is all relative. That's my point. But birds don't worry. They just don't. It's a faith issue. It always has been. Don't worry about your job. Some of us, we worry about our children. Will my children make it and become disciples? Will my grown kids come back to the Lord? Of course they will. You and I have got to believe that. Or it is not going to happen. Why? Because according to your faith, will it be done? That's in the Bible. Amen? Amen. We have nothing to worry about. Again, too many of us spend too much time worried about the economy. And that's why, like the elders we're talking about this morning, Mike Rao's not an elder yet. I pray he becomes one. We're working on him. Okay? What do you call it? Like Steve and Mike were saying this morning, you know, we get very agitated with our politics. I want to ask a question. Are there any Democrats in the house? Just clap. Okay, that's okay. I hear you. Are there any Republicans in the house? Are there any independents in the house? I got news for all of y'all. None of you guys have ever been the solution to the economy of this country. I'm sorry. You never have and you never will. So why are you all agitated about it? Amen? Jesus, God, the giver of life, is the solution to our problems and to our economy. He always has been. And that's why, honestly, quite frankly, this is me speaking, I really don't care about your politics. I really don't. I never have. I mean, think about it. When Jesus walked the earth, this was the most corrupt nation on the face of the earth in the nation of Rome. And what did he say about them? Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. That was all he said. We spend so much time in here on thinking about the government and politics. If anything, God says, pray for them. That is what we need to be doing as a church. Amen? Amen. But we have nothing to worry about. Oh, man, you know, I'm making a minimum wage. You know, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know, starting January, once we come back from the new year, I'm going to be teaching a series of lessons for 5 weeks called the Treasure Principle. And I promise us, we're going to be very convicted. I've already started studying it out. We're going to be very, very convicted. Because I think we worry about money too much in this country. There are many disciples in India, in Africa, that will gladly take your place. In a heartbeat. Excuse me? Oh, you have a minivan that breaks down every once in a while? Okay. You got a job that pays you how much? $7 an hour? Okay. You have a house where your rent is what? How much? $500 a month? Okay. Well, I'll take your place because I make $2 a day. I don't even have a car. To get to church, I have to take 3 different buses, and it takes me 3 hours to get to the service. And so I will gladly take that rickety minivan that's not working, that you want to throw away. I will take that from you. What am I saying? There are so many brothers and sisters that would trade places with you in a heartbeat. We got to be thankful for what we have, for the little we have, and not be complaining and be worried about it. Amen? These are the kind of things that keep us up at night. You know, God stays up at night. He doesn't sleep so that you and I can sleep. Have you ever thought of that? He doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. But some of us, our worries keep us up at night. God's saying, come on, man, that's my job. You go to sleep. Let me worry. Let me stay up. Amen? Put your head down on the pillow, man, go to sleep. Say, Richard, I can't. Call the elders, they come lay hands on you. Because you need to go to sleep. Amen? In Proverbs, excuse me, in Psalm 37, verse 25, I love this. David says, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Psalm 37, verse 25. You see, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. It's about trusting God. Amen, church? He says, don't worry. Just trust God. Recent research has shown that people who believe in God are less likely to suffer from depression. Faith in a loving God seems to provide a sense of meaning and purpose, a sense of where they fit in the universe, and an inner peace which enables them to live fully in the present. An understanding of God's priorities for our lives and the real experience of His love through Christ remove the blocks to eternal life beginning now. You see, your faith matters. And so in closing, I want to ask us a question, and I want us to answer in unison. Did God take care of you yesterday?
Yes.
Did God take care of you last week?
Yes.
And he already knows. Did God take care of you last month?
Yes.
Did God take care of you last year? If that is the case, and I believe it is God going to take care of me and you tomorrow?
Yes.
Will he take care of us next week?
Yes.
Will he take care of us in December?
Yes.
Will he take care of us in 2014?
Yes.
So we have no need to worry. We don't. How can we believe that God will take us to heaven and not take care of our daily needs? It's foolish. I rest my case.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because you provided all that we need. You provided your Son who died on the cross for us so that we may have a relationship with you. There is no more curtains that blocks us to come to you. Father, we thank you for providing the food, the places we live, the people that we commune with every day. We thank you for the strength that you provide for us in our times of trouble. Help us to remember your words. These are promises that has never been broken. So please help us to rely on that, Father. Help us to not look and be distracted by the things that Satan wants us to be distracted by. Because, Father, these light and momentary struggles are temporary. But God, being with you is eternal. So help us keep our eyes focused on that. Help us to leave here, Father, not just filled with emotions, but help us to make true decisions that's going to lead us to you at the end, God. We thank you so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're dismissed.